Morning, church family. We're so glad that you joined us for worship today. If you haven't met me yet, my name is Brandon McCaughey. I'm the lead pastor here at High Point Fellowship. And here at High Point, we want you to connect, grow, and go. And although things have been a bit on the unusual side as of late, we still want you to know that we have a lot of opportunities for you to get plugged in to our church body. And one of the ways that you can do that is through our incredible Bible studies. We have lots of options, both live and online for you. So if you want to choose one of those or find out more about that, please email us at office@hpf.org. And we'll put you in touch with one of those Bible study leaders, and they would love to have you join them for one of those classes. So if you would, open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Proverbs. We are in week two of our series called What Matters? Everyday Wisdom from the Proverbs. And last week we looked at wisdom in the Proverbs and why wisdom really matters for our lives. And this morning we're going to talk about our words, the things we say, and why our words matter and are so important to our God. You see, language is a gift we don't often appreciate. If you ever tried to stay silent for an entire day, you'll realize very quickly how difficult that actually is. I mean, my kids can't even stay silent for more than 2 minutes, right? But the fact that we can speak to one another with our words is an incredible gift and blessing from our God. Words can be spoken for both good and evil. And today, my hope is that the wisdom of Proverbs reminds us how important it is to learn how to control our tongues, to have our speech be filled with gracious words, like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body, as Proverbs says in 16:24. So let me see, as we begin our time, if you can finish this sentence. For all yous at home, I'm trusting you're going to do this for me. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but... Yes, I know you got it. But words can never hurt me. Now, I don't know who it was that came up with that saying, but it is absolutely not true. It's a lie, right? Because we know that sticks and stones can definitely break your bones. But words can break your heart. What we say matters a great deal. The way that we use language matters a great deal. Tim Keller said that humans are built for and have a need for words. Words are like food, like air. Words are like water for us. There is a word hunger in us. You see, you and I, we cannot live without words. They overflow into every area of our lives. Well, think about what the book of James says about this topic. He says, look at the ships. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder. Wherever the will of the pilot directs, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. Now, the biggest aircraft carrier in the world, I actually looked this up, is the USS Gerald R. Ford. It was commissioned in 2017. The ship stands 134 feet tall, roughly 25 stories. And the flight deck is 256 feet wide and 1,092 feet long, roughly the length of 3 football fields. It is powered by 2 nuclear reactors, which helps this ship travel at a speed of about 30 knots or roughly 35 miles per hour, which doesn't sound all that impressive until you think about the fact that it carries 4,500 plus personnel and over 75 aircraft, along with supplies and fuel and munitions and everything else that is required to make that small city function. It has a displacement weight of over 100,000 tons. The same weight as basically 400 Statues of Liberty. That's a lot. If you've ever been to the Statue of Liberty, it's impressively large. Now, this ship cost a mere $43 billion to construct. And again, like we said, it is basically a floating city, right? I lived in a town before this that was smaller in population than is required for this ship to function. But regardless of all that weight, all that personnel, all that hardware, that incredibly mighty ship is steered by a rudder that is just 0.1% of the ship's size. That's an incredible thought. How is something so small able to turn something so massive? And the rudder might be small, but it has tremendous power. It controls where the ship is going. And James is saying that it is the same for our tongues, with the words that we speak. They might seem small or even insignificant when we say them, but they hold incredible power over our lives. See, James continues in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. He says, "How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire." And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. James understood something about the tongue, and he compares it to this flame that can set an entire forest on fire. You think about the damage that is caused by rumors, half-truths, grumbling, sarcasm, outright lies, slander, betrayal, hurtful things said in anger. All of these things are smoldering flames, and they're capable of burning down and destroying. Destroying relationships, families, friends, relationships in the church, relationships with our God. As we look through the Proverbs, it's incredible how many times and how much wisdom Solomon gives his readers on this particular topic. Over and over, he comes back to this idea of using our words wisely. Solomon understands that words matter. And to get a glimpse, I want you to just hear some of these Proverbs. I'm going to read off a few of them for you. And just listen as we hear about the way Solomon says we should use our words. Proverbs 10, 31 and 32. "The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse." Proverbs 12, 18. "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Proverbs 15, 4. "A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit." One of my favorites is Proverbs 18, 6 and 7. It says, "A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating." I like that. "A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul." And then Proverbs 18, 21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruits." There are many others, but I wanted you to get a picture of how important Solomon understood this subject to be. If our words matter so much, then how are we as Christians to train ourselves how to speak appropriately? Proverbs gives us many suggestions. Solomon's wisdom tells us that we should learn to speak less. speak truthfully, and speak appropriately. You see, the average person speaks roughly between 10 and 15,000 words a day. That's an abundance of opportunities for us to fail with our words. The former president, Calvin Coolidge, I love what he said. He said, I have noticed that nothing I never said ever did me any harm. I have noticed that nothing I never said ever did me any harm. There's wisdom in that. Proverbs tells us this same principle. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Proverbs 10:19. And then Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Church, how many times a day do we say things that we shouldn't be saying? Or things that we regret? Words that are unnecessary, unkind, or hurtful to those around us. How much better would our day have been if we had learned to only bite our tongue in certain situations? Choosing to speak less, according to Proverbs, is wisdom. Words are so powerful that we need to learn to choose the words that we use carefully and speak only when there is something worth saying. Now, if we're going to speak, one of the other important lessons that we need to learn is that we must speak truthfully. Proverbs 12:19 says, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. And Proverbs 24:26 says, whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips. Telling the truth is good and right and beneficial. Telling the truth is a kind act. And often, church, I think that we are too unloving to be truthful. Telling the truth is always an act of love. And we learn that from 1 John. Truth and love go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other. But truth is an act of love, even if what we're going to say is tough to hear. What we say has to be for the other person's good, but our words must be honest, even when those words are difficult to say. And then lastly, speaking appropriately is this incredible difficult lesson for us to learn. Because it takes real wisdom to understand when to say something, to understand what to say, and when to say it. Proverbs 15:23 says, to make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Speaking the right words in the right moment is an incredible skill for us to have and to learn. Because when we speak appropriately, Solomon is telling us that those words are both pleasing to say and pleasing to hear. Proverbs 15:1 also reminds us that a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. If we're going to learn, church, to speak with wisdom, we desperately need God's help. We desperately need His help because those three things on their own are impossible for us to do without our God. And let me explain that, right? What I'm saying is that words themselves are not the problem. Speaking is not your problem. The problem is that your words are always an overflow of what is in your heart already. I remember being in an elementary school kid and going to a family gathering. I believe it was Thanksgiving. And my uncle is in the garage with his buddies just talking, and all the kids are there. And he begins to say incredibly vulgar, lewd comments about women in front of all the kids. My mom quickly decides to remove us from the situation, realizing that my uncle is drunk and just spouting this horrific kind of speech. And she told us something really, really insightful. She said, "There's nothing that comes out of the mouth of a drunk that wasn't there in the first place." You see, the alcohol didn't cause the sexual perversion to come out of my uncle's mouth. He had those thoughts when he was sober. The alcohol just loosened his lips so that when he began to speak, what we heard, what was in his heart already. What we heard, what was already in his heart. The most important thing I want us to take away from our time together is that we don't have word problems. We have heart problems. And Jesus reminds us of this exact truth in Matthew 15, verses 18 and 19. He says, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander." Everything that we say reveals what is already in our hearts. And Galatians 5 for us, church, is important for this particular topic, because the Apostle Paul begins to talk about how we are to live in this war between two kingdoms. The kingdom of self, what I want, and the kingdom of God, what He wants for us. Paul writes in Galatians 5, 13 through 15, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: love your neighbor as yourself." This is the part I want you to pay attention to. "But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." See, Paul is warning us that it is never okay to use harsh, ugly words that are unloving, condemning, ungracious, selfish, or prideful. There is never an excuse for us to say things like, I was yelling at my wife, but she knows I really love her. Or, you know, I belittled my children today the way I spoke with them, but, you know, they know I really care. Or, you know, I lied to my friend, but it was for their own good. I was trying to protect them. Paul is saying that if we are not wise and careful with our words, if we don't speak truth, if we don't speak less, if we don't speak appropriately, we will learn to devour and consume one another. Church, look at our world. You will see that around every corner. And notice something. Paul doesn't say that the relationships will be destroyed. He says that the people will be destroyed. You see, words have the power to destroy people. Words can damage someone's identity. You can leave deep wounds of darkness in the hearts of others because of hurtful things that you said in a moment of weakness or time spoken in anger. The words that we say always produce a harvest, whether a good harvest or a bad. Church, this means that it's time for us to be humble and honest with ourselves. If we could play a recording over the sound system at church, with all the words that you've spoken over just the last month, would we hear words of kindness, honesty, encouragement, and love? Or would we hear words of criticism, contempt, anger, and lies? Would your words be those that were building up and encouraging your brothers and sisters, or would we be tearing them down? Would your words be all about you and your kingdom? Or would they speak the truth about Jesus and his kingdom? So how do we grow and become more like Christ with our words? I think practicing some of the things we talked about before is important. But I want to give you an illustration of the difference between someone who speaks because they are building their kingdom and doesn't consider their words carefully, and someone else who has wisdom in using their words and who's building up the kingdom of God through the way that they speak. Imagine that you're married and your wife is at home with your four children. And you're heading home from work after a long day and you're feeling hungry. You're not quite hangry yet, but you're close, right? And you remember that morning as you left for work that your wife had said something about cooking a pot roast for dinner. And it's all you've been thinking about since lunchtime, right? And that grumble in your stomach is building, and you're thinking, I'm going to go home and have some pot roast. You pull into the driveway, you walk into the house, and you notice right away you don't smell pot roast. You smell cabbage soup instead. And you think to yourself, did I walk into the wrong house? Surely my wife didn't forget about what we talked about earlier that day. So you sit down at the table for dinner, and out comes a vile, stinking bowl of cabbage soup, just plain as the day. So in all your wisdom, your conversation of those who are building up their own kingdom goes something like this. Hey, honey, what's the deal? Where's that pot roast you said you were going to cook? Didn't you know I've been looking forward to it all day? I despise cabbage soup. You should know that. You should know that I don't like it. I can't believe you're going to make me eat this after the day I've had at work. I should have gotten fast food on the way home. I just don't get it. What did you even do all day? Pause. This is the way we use our words when our focus and our hearts are focused on our kingdom and our own glory. Think about it. How does a conversation like that speak to the heart of the wife? Does she want to draw near to you? Does she want to entrust herself to your care? Does she feel loved and encouraged and appreciated by you? Not a chance, right? And remember Galatians 5:15. If you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Right? A conversation like that begins a fight. And Proverbs 12:18 says the same thing. There is one whose rash words are like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So let's try it again, except this time with a heart ruled by God's kingdom, with a person who considers their words before they speak them. Same situation, you're looking forward to that pot roast as you head home. You come into the house and that cabbage soup smell isn't so pleasant. Right? You smell it right when you hit the door. Your wife puts that wretched soup on the table, and instead of complaining, you grab her hand and you say, my love, thank you. Thank you for all you do for me and for this family. You work so hard and you care for us day in and day out. And if my only worry is having to choke down this wretched cabbage soup, then I am an incredibly blessed man. I love you. That, church, is the response of a man whose heart is ruled by the kingdom of God, who has learned that gracious words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Proverbs 16:24 again. And I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, what kingdom rules your heart? Whose kingdom do you speak in service of? And for most of us, the answer, if we're honest, is probably a little bit of both. Because if you're anything like me, there's days when I get it right, and there's days when I get it horribly, horribly wrong. But it's why I so desperately need the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's why you so desperately need the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that the words of my mouth on a daily basis will remind me of that truth. That we need Him, Christ our Lord, to rescue and redeem us by His grace, to redeem our speech. So I would encourage you, church, pray that His grace would rescue you so that your words would be like a fountain of life. Be slow to speak. Let the words that you say be filled with both truth and love. Encourage more than you criticize. Seek opportunities to speak kind, tender-hearted words to your family and your friends. Say something affectionate to a loved one at an unexpected time. Not when you want something, but just because. Seek to speak words that are good for building up. Be a person whose mouth is filled with the fruits of the Holy Spirit. A mouth that speaks love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness into a world that is sick with anger, hate, conflict, and sin. Church, you and I need to believe that our words matter. That the things that we say should be in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ first. So ask Him to help fill your mouth with words that build, encourage, speak truth, and proclaim the glories of our Savior. Would you pray with me, church? And I'm going to pray this prayer from Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And all God's people said,